chapter 21, verse 15 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me."
Morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris and I serve as a pastor here in this church. So our practice in January is we don't follow a set series or anything usually. They're a bit more random messages. So this January we're focusing on stories that have come out from the Gospels. So we're focusing on stories that have a basis on Jesus. So this morning we're going to be looking at John 21, Do You Love Me? But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we just want to say thank you that we can be here this morning, that we can come together in freedom and safety, that we can talk about you, that we can sing praises to you, that we can pray and learn together. And we pray that your Holy Spirit, who is present here with us, will be speaking into our hearts and our minds this morning. And we pray that you'll challenge us and that we will be listening and that we will be transformed even more into the people that you desire us to be. And we pray this in the power and the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, when I went to Israel back in 2013, I had the opportunity to visit a place on the Sea of Galilee, a small church which is called the Church of Peter's Primacy. Now, it's this small church that's set up in the place that tradition holds to be the place where Jesus cooked breakfast for his disciples there on the beach, following his resurrection, but it's the place that's held to be where Jesus asked Peter these questions, where Jesus said to Peter, "Do you truly love me?" And I sat in that church for a while, and I listened as someone read out those words that Joy just read out to us, and thanks, Joy, those words from John 21 that are recorded for us. But let's just read them through together again. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs." Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep and follow me." I wonder if you put your name there instead of Simon Peter, Simon son of John, and Jesus asked you that question, how you'd answer. If it was David, "Do you love me more than these?" Irene, "Do you love me?" Deb, "Do you love me?" I wonder how we would answer. Yes, that's right. It's a strange question. We'll talk about that. I agree. Yeah, no competition here. I know. "Do you love me more than these?" Yeah. So Jesus had been with this small group of disciples now for 3 years. This was a group of people who'd left everything to follow him. They'd left behind their families, their careers, their friends, their communities. They'd lived with Jesus. They'd shared life with Jesus. They'd learnt from him, they'd grown with him as they walked together and they watched him in action. And then they'd thought they'd lost him because they watched him go to the cross. They saw him killed. And so they lost this person that they'd been following. But then, as we know, he came back to life. And they again got to spend more time with him. More time like having a barbecue on the beach. More time for them to grow stronger in their relationships with Jesus while they're learning from him at the same time. But on this occasion, Jesus is there with all of the disciples, but he singles out just one. He singles out just Peter. And he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, I think it's a strange question, as you've pointed out. Do you love me? But do you love me more than these? Why do you think that Jesus asks Peter this question? And why do you think he actually asks him this question three times? Any takers? Yeah. Most people would say what Deb said, if you didn't hear Deb, because he denied Jesus three times. See, before Jesus died, Peter had openly said, "I will be more faithful and more courageous than all the others." He'd been so bold. Peter had compared himself to the others. "I'll do this." He'd said, "I'm ready to die for you." And he even said, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." They're pretty bold claims. So imagine how shocked he was when Jesus told him that he was going to deny him after he's saying, "No way. I will follow you even to death." But we know that all of the disciples deserted Jesus. Following his arrest, we're told they ran away, they scattered, all of them. And yet we only read about Peter denying him three times. When people asked if he was one of Jesus' disciples, Peter said openly, "No, I'm not." He even said, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about." Now, that's a pretty strong denial. "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know him." So I think, as Deb's mentioned, that Jesus does ask him three times, probably because Peter denied knowing him three times. But I think this was Jesus' way of inviting Peter to reaffirm what he'd previously denied. To go a step further and to not only acknowledge that he knows him, but an opportunity to say that he loves him. But I think there's other reasons too. See, I feel sorry for Peter. I think he must have just been feeling so awful. I think he must have been feeling so embarrassed in front of the other disciples, embarrassed in front of Jesus. I think he must have felt so ashamed and guilty. And I think he needed a way to make things right with Jesus. He needed a way to be able to tell him that he loved him and to say, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for that." And I think this is Jesus giving him an opportunity to do that. I think that when Jesus asks him three times, he strengthens Peter. He embeds his answer in the truth. He enables him to own it, to hear it and to speak it three times. And I imagine that Peter would become stronger in himself each time he was called to repeat that answer. He needed to know that it was true beyond any doubt, because he needed to be reassured. He needed to feel confident. It was important for Peter to know this truth, because soon after this happened, just days later, Jesus ascended to heaven and he left Peter and the other disciples on their own. Jesus knew that life for them was going to be not easy. It was going to be hard. He knew that they were going to face lots of trials, lots of struggles. He knew they needed a solid foundation of relationship and love if they were going to be able to continue to follow him when he wasn't physically with them. But I think Peter especially needed this. Yes, because he denied Jesus, but also because he was going to go on to become a significant leader in the church. Now, we have people here in our church, people who, like Peter, have left behind their family and their friends, their careers, left behind their communities to follow Jesus. People like Sarah and Mehdi, like Rojin, like Davood, like many others. They know firsthand what it means to have a difficult life because you've chosen to love and follow Jesus. And yet none of them have wavered in their faith. They've persevered. Why? Because they love Jesus. Because they love the one who loves them. They love the one that they know chose to die for them. The one who has offered them forgiveness and freedom and a new life in relationship with God. It's a mutual love and relationship that enables them to stay faithful, to stay strong and continuing following Jesus, even though it's hard, even though it's demanded such incredible loss from them. Now, many of us here, we don't face those difficulties and struggles that Peter faced or that our Persian brothers and sisters do. But we still need to be reminded of the love and the relationship that we share with Jesus. Because if we're following him, then we are going to face difficult times. We are going to be called to make difficult decisions. We are going to be tempted to forget or reject Jesus or maybe just put him to one side for a time. See, we're not just part of a religion. We're part of a relationship. Do you get that? We're not just part of a religion. We're not just part of a set of beliefs or a set of rules to follow. We're part of a relationship. And that's something that Peter is reminded of in this conversation with Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't say, Peter, do you love God? Or do you love our religion? He says, do you love me? Do you love me, the person? Because unlike other religions, the Christian faith is personal. There are a lot of people today who would be quite comfortable to say they loved God, that they love the one who created them, or they love the one who looks out for them or who helps them when things go wrong. Even people of other faiths might say that they love God because they love their idea of God or the one that they call God, whether it's Allah or Shiva or something else. And most people are okay if you say that you love God. But I've noticed that most people aren't okay if you say you love Jesus. They're okay if you say you respect Jesus, or if you say that you think he was a really good teacher, or even if you revere him as a great prophet, that's okay. But if you say you love Jesus, you see people become uncomfortable, even some Christians. I remember talking to a pastor a number of years ago about this. And he talked very openly about his deep love for God. It's why he'd been studying at Morling. It's why he loved the scriptures, because he loved God. But as we continued to talk, he couldn't say that he loved Jesus. It was a real eye-opening conversation for me. See, for him, it was about the religion, not the person. Jesus asks, do you love me? Because our faith is personal. But I think he also asked Peter because he wanted to hear Peter say it. He wanted to hear Peter say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I think he wants to hear us say it too. How good does it feel when someone says to you, I love you? I would argue it's one of the best feelings in the world. I can't tell you how good it makes me feel when Rob says, I love you, or when one of my kids ends a phone conversation with, love you, Mum. It makes me feel great. But I think sometimes we get complacent about telling the people that we love them. I think we forget, or we just assume that they know. I mean, they should know that we love them because we married them after all, or we gave birth to them, or we put up with all their annoying habits. But I think everyone sitting here wants to be told that they're loved. And I think Jesus does too. And I want to encourage you to take a moment, whether it's now or today or during the week, to just tell Jesus, to say, I love you, Jesus. See, I think that when most people initially choose to become Christians, I think they do love Jesus, or at least they love what he's done for them. But we know that people go on to forget. They go on to forget that personal side of the faith. They forget about the relationship that they have with Jesus, and they instead shift their focus to the religion. There's a church that we read about in the book of Revelation. It was the church that met in Ephesus, and they're a good example of this. A group of believers, a church that was full of people who would have all said that, yes, we love Jesus. We love Jesus and we love each other. And they would have assumed that it was obvious because of all of the good things that they were doing. But listen to what Jesus had to say. He said, I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they're apostles but are not. You've patiently suffered for me without quitting, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. Here's a church that appears to be doing great, but it isn't. And it isn't because they've forgotten their first love, Jesus. They've made it about religion. Religion rather than relationship. They've focused their attention and their energy on maintaining good theology and sound doctrine, on enduring hardship, on staying faithful in their servant to God. And they are all good things. They are all important, really good things, but not when they come at the expense of what Jesus says is most important. Love. The relationship that you share with Jesus and with each other. Because when we get the love part right, everything else falls into place. We're happier, we're more content, we're better able to cope and endure, we're stronger in our faith, we're more committed to following Jesus and to sharing him with others. We know more joy and peace. Love is the answer. But Jesus didn't just leave it at, do you love me? See, each time he asked Peter this question, and Peter answered, Jesus followed it with a directive. He said, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, and follow me. Because knowing that you're loved is about more than just hearing some words. In fact, it's easy to say, I love you, Ray, but it's how you show that love. How you demonstrate it. Jesus offers Peter a way to demonstrate his love. And it's not by going out and getting a job as a shepherd. It's by acting like a shepherd. And Peter would have known exactly what Jesus was talking about. Because a shepherd was someone who protected the flock, who provided for their needs, who cared for them, who knew them. And this was what Jesus was asking Peter to do, not for sheep, but for the new believers, for the church. And that's what we see Peter go on to do. He demonstrates his love for Jesus by following Jesus' example. Follow me. He does. He gathers the believers together so that they can encourage each other, so that they can share life, so that they can learn together, protect each other, share possessions so that everyone has enough of what they need. He demonstrates his love by acting and leading the believers, by acting like a shepherd. I wonder if you could say that you are demonstrating your love for Jesus. I mean, do you make time to pray? On your own, but also with other people. Do you make time to read and study and meditate on God's words? Do you make time to seek and then to follow the Spirit's direction? Because I would say these are the starting point for demonstrating that love. Making time to be with Jesus, to talk to Jesus, to listen to what he has to say, to learn from him, but also to just enjoy being with Jesus. I mean, isn't that what we do in relationship? See, these things set the foundation for that love. These things provide the support that we all need when things get tough. But these aren't the only way that we demonstrate our love for Jesus. There's lots of other outward practices that we can do. And I want to say that I love being part of a church family that, as time goes on, it's obvious that it's growing in its love for Jesus and each other. A church that's increasingly choosing to demonstrate that love even when it's hard, even when it stretches us out of our comfort zones. You know, some of the ways I've seen it demonstrated in recent weeks has been Murrell inviting Nolly when she comes home from overseas and she's sick to come and stay with her. It's David giving up an hour every week to go and spend in a local workplace to share Jesus with the people that work there. It's one of you advocating on someone else's behalf when you saw them being taken advantage of by another company. It's Karen pursuing pastoral ministry and a student role here. Not her first choice. Not here, but to be a pastor. But pursuing it. It's Deb intentionally going and learning about pastoral care so she can practice it. It's so many here volunteering to be on different rosters to be able to help and support Paria and Abbas when the twins are born. I've seen love demonstrated here in recent weeks with generous financial support being given to people who've needed it. Visa support letters being written. Connect groups meeting, committed to meeting and sharing and learning and praying. Our more senior members letting go of things that they might enjoy and like and want to keep, but letting them go because they know that they need to enable for us to move forward into the new season God has. There is an incredible grace in that. I could add to that the love that I see demonstrated by people who are willing to visit, to go and visit people even though they're feeling tired and could be doing something else, who cook and share meals even though they don't actually like cooking much, or are worried that people might not like their food. The many emails and texts and phone calls that I know are exchanged during the week, just sometimes just to say hi and let someone know that they're being thought of, they're cared about, You know, I could go on and on because there is a growing spirit of love here in this place. But we need to be careful that we don't get so caught up in the doing of good things that our relationship with Jesus suffers. Because everything we do needs to come from a place of love. It needs to come from a desire to follow Jesus and his example. So I would say we need to regularly do what Jesus told the Ephesian church to do. We need to remember. We need to remind ourselves and each other of the relationship and the love that we have with Jesus. Be reminded how wonderful it is. And we need to repent because there will be times when we don't love Jesus as we should. And so we need to let Jesus know that we're sorry and ask him to help us to do better. And we need to refocus, then to get back on track, get back to doing those good works that do demonstrate to everyone that we love Jesus. You know, after I walked out of the Church of Peter's Primacy, I sat down at the edge of the sea just to pray, just to sit quietly. And before long in my mind, I heard a voice say, "Chris McGowan, do you truly love me?" And I felt so incredibly challenged. Did I really love Jesus? Or was I just committed to the Christian religion? And I sat there on my own for close to an hour, thinking through, did I really love Jesus? Did I love him enough to lay aside my own ambitions and my own plans? Did I love Jesus enough to overcome my own fears and insecurities that threatened to hold me back and stop me moving forward? You know, I ended up answering Jesus like Peter did, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And the quick reply that came after that into my mind was, "Then follow me." This came at a time in my life when I was wrestling with whether to pursue pastoral ministry and to pursue it here. And so it was a timely reminder, do I love Jesus? So often when we do follow Jesus, he takes us down ways that we wouldn't naturally gravitate to. But experience has shown me that always in the end, it proves to be incredibly worthwhile and wonderful, like it has for me in coming to be able to serve here. Jesus loves us, you and I, more than we can ever imagine. And he invites us to love him back. He invites us to enjoy the relationship with him that we were always meant to have. And he offers us a gift. It's a gift, but like any gift, it only becomes ours if we choose to receive it. So if you haven't yet chosen to receive that gift and make it your own, if you haven't chosen to yet enjoy a relationship with Jesus, then here's your big chance. He's offering you a relationship of love and freedom and new life. So if you want to take up that offer and receive that gift, then come and talk to me afterwards or one of the other leaders so we can tell you how. But for now, I want to finish with a couple of questions. Do you truly love Jesus? How would you answer him? Not do you love God, not do you love the Christian religion or the life that goes with it or being part of a church, but do you love Jesus? Because he is at the center of our Christian faith. And then if you say you do, how is that demonstrated? How can people see that you're following Jesus? How can they see and know and enjoy him through your love for him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's so easy for us to forget you in the busyness of our day, to put you to one side. But we would ask that you would help us to remember that you are at the centre of our faith. That it's only because of your love and your sacrifice that we are able to know forgiveness, that we are able to enjoy freedom and enjoy the relationship with God that we were created to have. So we would ask that you would remind us of your presence with us, remind us of your provision for us, remind us of your love, and help us to love you in return. And help us to choose to follow you in our everyday life so that the people around us can come to see and to know, to consider and to understand that you are God. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.